Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to 10% Happier early and ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
From ABC, this is the 10% Happier podcast. I'm Dan Harris. So all of our guests are special, but this week's guest is extra special. His name is Tony Wright, and as we record this interview, Tony is 3 weeks out of prison for a crime he did not commit. He spent 25 years behind bars for a rape and murder that he did not do. And he was exonerated 3 weeks ago as we speak. And his story made national headlines. But it was a special interest to me because I heard from his legal team shortly after he got out that he was really interested in, recently become interested in yoga and a little bit of meditation, and had been of use to him behind bars. So I really wanted to talk to him to hear his story, and particularly the last part. So let me ask you, how did you, we'll hear about all the crazy and infuriating things that have happened to you, but let's start with the yoga piece. How did you get into yoga?
I did, I want to say on a dare, man.
On a dare.
Well, they just integrated that program into the county prison where I was being housed at the last 2 years. And I want to say it's probably been there for probably about the last 12 months. A lot of guys there, I don't think anybody there has ever done yoga. And everybody signed up for, you know, there when you're in a county institution like that, you always confined, you all, meaning you always locked in. So anything you get a chance to sign up for, whether it be yoga, school, a pro, any type of program, everybody signs up for those programs just so they wouldn't be locked down. And everybody signed up for the program that never did yoga. And I guess they thought the instructor, you know, those guys don't think, you know, I mean, men do yoga or yoga's for men.
So you thought the instructor was going to be a woman?
No, well, they thought I worked in the area where the program was being ran at, which was in the gym. So, you know, I worked in the activities department up there. So I had access to that area all the time. So I didn't need to sign up for the program. So if they was running a program, one of the perks of me working there was I'm able to go to the program, unlike everybody else. I didn't have to sign up. So
you knew it was going to be a guy?
No, I never knew until he came in. Everybody thought it was going to be a lady in there.
In tights.
In tights. So everybody thought it was going to be Becky. So when everybody came down and saw it was Becky's husband in tights instead of Becky, all the guys went back the other way, man. And I kind of felt bad for the guy, and it was a good guy, man. So, you know, the first time he came, I watched what was going on, and I went out there and joined the class, man, and unbeknown to me, I fell in love with the class, man. I thought yoga was of great benefits to somebody like myself. I can't speak for nobody else. I only speak for myself. You know, starting yoga class, I learned a lot, man. It's something that strengthens the mind, you know, not only mentally, physically, spiritually, it strengthens everything. So you know, it had a profound effect on me. Once I started, took that first class, I've never missed a class since I've been there and since this guy's been coming in.
What about it did you find so useful?
Mentally, man, I think it teaches you discipline. In a place like prison, where yoga is a rarity, I think, you know, I've only been there since my sentence was vacated 2 years ago. You know, I come from the penitentiary to the county. And
let me just jump in for once, just to explain to people, because they may not know your backstory. But you were arrested in 1990 for the rape and murder of an elderly woman, which you did not do. And
correct.
You were convicted wrongfully.
Correct.
And 2 years ago, there was DNA evidence that then led to your sentence being vacated.
Vacated.
But the prosecutors decided to retry you, so you actually had to go from a prison to a county jail.
Right.
And that was 2 years ago.
Right.
And after landing in the county jail, that's when you encountered yoga.
Yeah, that's when I encountered yoga. They don't have yoga in the penitentiary. It teaches you discipline. Something that I believe everybody should have in life, or you'll run amok, no matter, yeah, you know, I mean, you know, it's something that soothes the mind, the body, and the soul. And True story. I'm sitting here being interviewed by you today, one of my very beloved attorneys before all of this. I think I just took my first yoga class, and out of nowhere, as a present, I get a package, and there's a package of books, and it's 10% Happier by Mr. Dan Harris. So, oh my goodness. So, you know, I read the book, you know, several times, and it's funny, a lot of the things that you spoke about in the book, you know, I could see myself doing. Just trying to make myself a better person, you know what I mean? Just trying to, I don't know if there's such thing as a complete person, man, but I'm just trying to live my life better than I did the previous day. Each day I'm trying to learn something and trying to be a better person than I was the day before, and I kind of got that from you, trying to find yourself, turning to these gurus, you know what I mean? and trying to find your lane, so to speak, to be the best, you know, person you want to be. And that's what I got from reading the book, 10% Happier, man. And it's so funny, you know, a lot of times, you know, you see this guy and you looking at him like, what is this guy talking about? Is you serious, man? Absolutely, I'm not doing this. And that's how I felt about yoga. You know what I mean? Like, you know, especially in prison. You know what I mean? You know, everybody want to be an alpha male in prison. You know what I mean? You know, you want to walk around with your chest out, man, and all that, man. But yoga helped me kick that notion. And being in there for what I was accused of being in there for and convicted of being in there for, you feel a need to walk around with your chest out. You know what
right,
I mean?
Because if you're accused of a sex crime, especially against an elderly woman, you have a target on your back.
Yeah, you know, one of the two things you definitely don't want to go to prison for is a sex crime of any kind against anyone, let alone an elderly person or a child. You know what I mean? So you might as well just go in there with a bullseye on your forehead. You know what I mean? So it's dangerous. It's dangerous, man. And you know, praise be to God, man. You know, I was able to get through that. You know, a lot of guys in there know me. A lot of guys in there come from where I come from. So, you know, it was a whole bunch of guys that knew me before I got there. There's a whole bunch of guys knew that I wasn't a guy who was charged with these things on the book. Never seen that, knew I was incapable of such thing. I can't remember when I ever disrespected a woman, let alone committed a crime against a woman. I'm a guy that is very protective of my mother, my grandmother, my mother's sisters, which are my aunts and stuff like that, man. But you know, going there like that, man, you know, people tried to make me take lockup, protective custody. I refused to
go into solitary.
Yeah, solitary confinement, solitary confinement. I refused to do that. I refused to do that because I had no reason to do that. I wasn't running from anybody. I had no business to run from nobody. I had no reason to hide from anybody. I didn't commit a crime. I was in jail, accused and convicted of the most heinous, disgusting crime that anybody is. I can't even process my mind to even think, like, I mean, just the worst of the worst. I mean, it's insane, man.
It is insane. The story is insane. And I hear the story of how you were a 20-year-old guy with a 4-year-old son.
Yeah.
You had a job. You were working on construction with your uncle.
Yeah.
And cops come knocking on the door at a Sunday afternoon. You're with at your mother's house watching football. Yeah. They take you downtown. And all of a sudden, you're in shackles. And then you're convicted all for this crime that you didn't do. And the most amazing thing to me is you walk out. And I've been with you now, hanging out with you, shooting a story for Nightline, which hopefully people will be able to see and you don't have any anger.
No, you know, I left a four-year-old boy out there. Just like it was me, it could have been him. So, you know, 20 years old, 21 years old, 22 years old, I was upset. I was a lost soul back then, man. I was trying to find myself. Nobody would listen to me, man. I was just locked up and accused of the most despicable thing any human being can do to anybody, let alone an elderly person. I had nobody. Didn't nobody want to touch me, and nobody want to be near me, family included, man. You know, you know, not many people reached out to me, you know, outside of my mother, you know, and a few other people, man, my brother. Nobody want to touch you, man. Everybody, as I'm saying, everybody say they innocent in prison. Everybody. Everybody say they innocent in prison, man. And just to know that you are. And 25 years is a long time, man. And it's a lot of people that was in a worse position than I.
But how could you not be angry?
Because if you're angry, you live your life like that all the time. Prison is the worst place. It's a barbaric lifestyle. It's the worst place to be like that. You know what I mean? You will be ruined if you live your life like that. You will commit crime after crime. You'll commit disciplinary hardship after hardship. It's so many people in prison need rehabilitation. And I felt like I was a help to a lot of those guys.
Well, I think that's incredible, yeah, what you're saying. But what about now? Because you're out. I know it's all new. You're just 3 weeks out. But does it ever hit you that you got robbed? Your son got robbed?
Truthfully speaking, I don't think about it until I'm sitting here with you and you bring it up. That's behind me. I'm happy to be here. I'm happy to be alive. I'm happy to walk out that door and embrace my son. My son just had a 29th birthday a couple days ago. I was happy to be with him for the first time in that type of setting. It was unbelievable. I walk out that door, I'm happy my son placed his one-year-old daughter in my arms. Mm. I'm happy to, every time I walk through the threshold of my son's home, that one-year-old little legs move fast as they can to run her pop-pop to give me the biggest hug and kiss. That's what I dreamed about. That's what I look forward to for so many years. You know, through all that, I never doubted that these days were upon me, were for me. I never doubted this moment. Not sitting here with you, but coming home to my family. That's the way I thought. I wouldn't think no other way. But I hope and pray that the inevitable didn't happen before that.
Inevitable? What do you mean by
meaning,
that?
Meaning, you know, the same way you walked in there, you want to walk out. And that's not always the case, man. Guys pass away in there every day. It's a scary thing.
Not of natural causes.
Of a lot of natural causes and a lot of other ways. You know, my first day upstate in the penitentiary, somebody was killed. That's a barbaric lifestyle. That wasn't the life I chose, man. So, you know, me walking in there, as I stated earlier, you don't want to go in there for what I was accused of and convicted of. You don't want to go in there for those type of crimes. You know, I went in there prepared to die from day one. That's just what it was. I refused to take lockup. You know, I refused protective custody. I had no reason to be in protective custody. I didn't do anything to be in protective. I wasn't going to be in a jail inside of a jail. I mean, so, you know, I wanted the right that every other inmate had in there. You know what I mean? So, you know, I refused to take protective custody, man. And you know, I just mind my business, man. You know, and prison, it's no secrets. Everybody can tell you why you're there, but nobody can tell you why they're there. That's how I survived for so long, because I didn't care why anybody else was there.
You didn't get caught up in the prison gossip.
Yeah, I just minded my own business, man. Always stayed where I was supposed to be, man. Always done what I was supposed to have done. You know, a lot of time, man, being accused of something you didn't do seemed like it was the norm of my life. You know, a few years ago before I got out, I was confined in a hole for about a year for something I didn't do.
In solitary.
Yeah, in solitary confinement, man. So, you know, it's tough, man. It's tough. You know what I mean? Again, man, every day, man, I'm the same way every day. Never change. You know what I mean? You know, I greet you with a handshake and a smile on my face. Handshake, man. I cried so many nights. You know what I mean? I cried so many nights. I still cry today. But they different tears. These tears of joy. You know, for my mother. I cry for my mother. You know.
She passed away when you were
She
inside.
Passed away 19 years ago. She passed away 19 years ago. At the tender age of 44, I just turned 45, August the 29th. 19 years ago, she was 44 years old. And a couple of weeks ago, August 23rd, 2016, she finally had a chance to rest in peace. Her son made it.
As they say at Amica, empathy is our best policy. Whether you need auto, home, or life insurance, they're ready to help you protect the things that matter most to you. They're a mutual company, customer-owned, in service to you. Amica representatives are here when you need them, and you can take comfort knowing a real person will be there on the phone to take care of you, because the greatest measure of their success is your satisfaction. You can count on T-Mobile to help keep you connected. After investing billions to light up their network from big cities to small towns, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, when you switch to T-Mobile, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus Verizon and AT&T. Visit your neighborhood store or T-Mobile.com to switch. Plan savings with T-Mobile. Third line free on essentials via monthly bill credits versus comparable available plans. Plan features may vary. Credits stop if you cancel or change plans.
I just wanted to tell people you had this retrial, and the jury found you not guilty in the time span of 5 minutes. And the jury forewoman, as you tell it, when she was reading out your not guilty verdict, she actually just shouted him at the ceiling. It was incredible. Incredible. I can see, you know, you're getting emotional talking about your mother and her resting in peace. I can only imagine all of this is just incredibly overwhelming.
Oh, man. These past 3 weeks has been the best 3 weeks of my life. I've never witnessed nothing like this. I didn't want to overwhelm myself. You know, my thought process was put your best foot forward every day. Take baby steps, you know, and my thoughts wouldn't allow me to think outside of me, walking outside the prison gate. You know, that was my thought process. Get from inside that prison to outside that prison. I never could imagine everything that has happened, meaning how warm and gracious everyone has been to me, my family, and my legal team. So many people have reached out to all of us to send warm wishes, and people just want to hug you and take pictures with you everywhere you go, man. It's these are complete strangers, man. And, you know, I don't know, you know, such a tragedy has bred such goodness. I don't know if I would have had the opportunity to meet people such as my legal team, people such as you, to sit across from Dan Harris and do this interview, man. I'm honored, man. It's a pleasure, man.
Well, I'm honored. I can't believe. I mean, just to hear that this dumb little book that I wrote in my spare time would have some meaning to you is just beyond belief for me. And we should say, you know, you were doing some yoga. You did some yoga in jail, but you also were doing some meditation. So can you tell me what kind of meditation you were doing and what impact it had on you?
Oh, man, you know, again, discipline. We all need structure in our life, and that's what meditation does for me. Just to sit there and I had no idea. I had no idea, you know, trying yoga, trying meditation. I'm actually hooked on it and I'm anxious to meet this guy again.
Your teacher.
Yeah, my teacher.
When he taught you meditation, he would have you. Well, you tell it.
Well, you know, we'll be sitting there and we'll have whatever in front of us, whatever we was using during that program, whether it be blocks or balls and something to have writing on it. And you have you look at it.
At the word.
At the word or one letter and just zone in on that letter and you listen to him talk and you don't hear nothing else. Nothing else matters around you and just focus. It takes discipline just to focus and just to hear this one voice from his mouth to your ear, to your brain and try to process it. You don't hear nothing else and with your eyes open or your eyes closed and you feel so comfortable. At that moment, man, you seem like you doze off, but your ears are wide open and you just focus and paying attention and just trying to zone out, shut everything out and enclose yourself in this one box and it relaxes you. It's like, I don't know, you know, the Indians do a thing called a sweat.
Sweat lodge.
Yeah, I've done that numerous times as a youngster. And the first time I did it, I thought I was going to pass. It was so hot in there, I couldn't breathe. And listen to this guy, you know, he boiled these rocks, had his rocks boiling in this fire for almost 10 hours before you actually get in this thing. And I couldn't breathe in there. And it cleanses you. And you sitting there in this position with your feet, bottom of your feet touching each other and your hands. You don't want to breathe too hard because you'll burn your skin, but you're sitting there and you're trying to process it. And it take great discipline just to sit there. And I want to lean over and lift the bottom of the tent up just to get a piece of air. They pinch you, don't move. And I did it the first time and I did it the whole time, the second time, the third time. And you almost become addicted to it. You feel so good afterwards. You know what I mean? Like, it seemed like it cleaned all the poison out of your body. And it's the same thing with meditation, but different. Cleansing your brain, the most powerful thing in your body besides your heart. You know what I mean? So, I mean, it's your thinking thing, man. The thing you use to think and tell you what to do every day.
What's it like when you close your eyes? Is it noisy for you or can you tune out all the...
I'm good, man. You know, I do it every night, unconsciously. I literally sleep. I can't sleep. I scare my lady friend. She said,
oh, we should just say that you're 3 weeks out and you have a girlfriend. You don't like the term girlfriend because you think it sounds like infantilizing.
Man,
but this is a woman you met on the inside and she's stuck with you since
first. Yeah, for a few years. A special lady friend, man. She's a special girl.
You scare her at night when you're trying to sleep?
Yeah, because she said she looked like you dead when you sleep. And I've been doing this all my life. I sleep with my things clenched like this. My hands clenched across my chest. And I, a few women told me that. You know, when I was Tony Jr. Mom used to tell me that. I'm not getting into bed with you. You're going to sleep like that. Roll on your side if you don't. So, you know, but I do that unconsciously. And I just zone out, just go on my own thing. Close my eyes and I can go like that forever. You know, I'll put my headphones on or take the headphones off. And anytime I'm in you see me laying there resting, I got my eyes closed. And just thinking.
So now that you're out and you've got this new interest in yoga and meditation, you're going to keep doing it or you're going to go off, you know, and forget about it?
No, absolutely. I'm going to keep doing it. Say, man, you picked that up and, man, it had a profound effect. And just in my life, in just the little time that I started doing it, it soothes me. It relaxes me. It strengthens my mind. Discipline. There's a lot going on. A lot of people might, man, you've been going 2.5 decades, you'll think a normal person be overwhelmed. I am normal, but I know how to. I'll go in a room and lock myself in a room by myself just to get my thoughts, get myself back together, peace of mind. So, you know, I'll walk away and go lock myself. I'll go sit in the bathroom. I'll go sit in the tub for 2 hours, man, just lay back and just relax and just enjoy myself. Just to kind of bring it and to calm it down a little bit. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, you are handling what is a has to be a completely bonkers situation. From what I can tell, you're handling it with a lot of poise.
I wouldn't change places with any of those guys in there for 1 second to be in there. I groomed myself for this, meaning I've been preparing for this moment for 25 years. People ask you all the time, what's the difference between now and then? It's no difference. It feels the same, meaning I wasn't supposed to be there. I didn't want to be there. I mean, so being there from October 20th, 1991 until August 23rd, 2016, it's no different. I hated being in prison. I wasn't supposed to be there. I didn't want to be there. And I acted according to that.
You know, it was a travesty of justice. There's no question about it. Yeah. You were not supposed to be there. Yeah. I'm incredibly pleased that you're out. What are you going to do now?
Oh, man, you know, it's been a whirlwind for me, man, these 3 weeks. One of the best things that's happened for me since I came home, I've been offered a job at the federal courthouse in Philadelphia. Of course, I accepted that job. So I went down there and met some unbelievable judges. I met their staff down there who run a recovery program for guys that have been in prison, not necessarily for 25 years, for however long you've been in, for a year, 6 months, seven, they run an unbelievable program. Those guys down there, the judges are with friends of a couple attorneys I have in Philadelphia, and those guys have assisted me in ways I couldn't even imagine. Those guys have been unbelievable. Every time I turn around, one of those guys that run that program down there for the judges and them, the recovery program, is on my phone just checking in with me, make sure I'm fine. Do I need anything? They have assisted me with everything. I couldn't imagine being where I am today without those guys. So, you know, I want to give a shout-out to the federal courthouse in Philadelphia, to the judges down there that have welcome me with open arms, and all their staff down there. Those guys have been great. So I'm looking forward to getting out and doing that 9-to-5 thing real soon. But, you know, I want to take time these next couple of weeks. This is my first time in the Big Apple in New York City. I'm over here, you know, meeting and seeing all my attorneys over here, all my paralegals and the law students that has been working with me for a very long time, and meeting all the other staff attorneys that I've talking to, and the students. You know, I hear all these faces every day. I mean, I hear all these voices, different voices every day. And to come over today and put a face to those voices has been unbelievable. It's been an emotional day for me. I've been crying all day. I'm having the time of my life here in the Big Apple. Everybody over here has been great, you included. So I've been with you for a couple hours now, and it's an honor. And like I said before, the pleasure is all mine. So thank you.
Tony, thank you. It's time to send you off to your evening activity, which is a Yankees game with your attorney, Nina, who we should give a shout-out to. She's from the Innocence Project. She is a meditator herself, and she's very cool. Tony Wright, congratulations on getting out. It is an honor to meet you, and may you be as strong as you are right now for the rest of your life.
Likewise, man. I appreciate it, man. You are an unbelievable guy, man. I'm a huge fan of everything you're doing, man. So I continue to follow, and I look forward to seeing you again.
Will you stay in touch with me?
Absolutely.
I'm going to keep you to that.
Oh, man. Absolutely. Could. Absolutely. Don't ask me that. Man, I'll call your phone as soon as I go down the street. Man, absolutely, I'll keep in touch, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Okay, there's another edition of the 10% Happier podcast. If you liked it, please make sure to subscribe, rate us. And if you want to suggest topics we should cover or guests we should bring in, hit me up on Twitter at Dan B. Harris. I also want to thank heartily the people who produce this podcast and really do pretty much all the work. Lauren Efron, Josh Cohan, Sarah Amos, Andrew Kalb, Steve Jones, and the head of ABC News Digital, Dan Silver. I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
If you like 10% Happier, and I hope you do, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
I'm Shimol Yai, and I have a new podcast called The Competition. Every year, 50 high school senior girls compete in a massive scholarship competition.
I wouldn't say I have an ego problem, but I'm extremely competitive.
All of the competitors are used to being the best and the brightest, and they're all vying for a huge cash prize.
This will probably be the most intense thing you've ever gone through in your life.
I remember that feeling because I was one of them. I lost. But now I'm coming back as a judge. And also a kind of teen girl anthropologist. Because if you want to understand what it's like to be a young woman in America today, The Competition's not a bad place to start.
Hopefully no one will die on stage tonight.
From Pineapple Street Studios and Wondery, this is The Competition. Follow The Competition on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to The Competition early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
Once upon a beat. Remember those stories and fables that would capture your imagination and you couldn't wait to see how they would unfold? And now, when you read them as an adult, you think, some of these old tales could use a fresh spin. We have a perfect podcast to bring you the stories you remember, remix, and reimagine for the kids in your life today. Join me, DJ Fu, and my trusty turntable, Baby Scratch, as we spin up new tales in the new Kids and Family podcast, Once Upon a Beat. Yeah. Wondery and Tinkercast are bringing you a jam-packed, music-filled weekly party where hip-hop and fables meet. It's Once Upon a Beat. Follow Once Upon a Beat on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can listen to Once Upon a Beat early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or Wondery Kids Plus in Apple Podcasts. Once Upon a Beat.